All right, if you will, turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I love preaching about Noah. Amen. So we're going to be preaching about Noah this morning. But I guess sometimes we feel like Noah. The time of my message this morning is preaching in vain. And I believe sometimes Noah felt like he was preaching in vain. We find here in Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, he says, make thee an ark. God is speaking to Noah, telling him to make the ark. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third story shalt thou make it. And then I want you to drop down to verse 22 there, the very last verse of the chapter. He says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And then I want to read one more verse. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, let me find it here. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come as humble as we know how before thee. And dear Father, we just ask, Lord, that you'd reach down. Lord, that you'd touch and move in our midst this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us together in one heart, one mind, one soul to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you take care of the need of every heart. Lord, I don't know what that need is, but Lord, you do. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you just take care of every need, Lord, that might be upon the folks' heart today. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch my throat. Lord, give me ability to preach your word this morning. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with all those that are sick and out of our midst. We have a lot of folks sick today. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you bring them back at the next appointed time. And dear Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone in our midst today that knows you not as Savior, Lord, Lord, I pray, Lord, they come to that place and receive you as their personal Savior. Call upon your precious name and allow you to save them and give them everlasting life, just like I did 50 years ago. Lord, lead us now, guide and direct us in everything said and done. We give you the glory, honor, and praise, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen and amen. We find here that Noah was given 120 years. We find that the Bible says, tells us in chapter 6, that God's spirit shall not always dwell with man. And so God has given 120 years for man to get right with God. I had someone the other day ask me the question, said, I'm excited about going to heaven. I'm excited about the rapture, but then I think about my loved ones that are not saved and what is going to happen to them. He said, I want to my loved ones to come to Christ. Noah had the same problem. He had people that he wanted to come to Christ. He wanted people to be saved. He knew the ark was the only way that they could ever be saved. He knew that God told them, that there's going to be a flood that's coming. And see, there'd never been a flood. There'd never been rain to fall out of the sky. We don't think anything about it when it rains like it did the other night. Thursday night, I thought it was going to wash us all away. But anyway, it rained so hard. And so, they had never seen rain fall from the sky. water falling from the sky. They'd never seen such a thing. Because as you look back in the scriptures, you find that God allowed the mist to come up from the ground to water the vegetation and things like that. There never was any water to fall out of the sky. So we find that when Noah preached, he said there's a great flood coming. Water's going to come down out of the sky. Everything's going to be covered with water. Everything is going to drown. Every man, woman, and child, every animal, all life is going to be taken. And the only way to save your life is to get on the ark. And I'd like to stop there for just a moment. The ark, now, what does the ark stand for? The ark stands for Jesus. Amen. The ark stands there for Jesus. And so Jesus is the way of salvation. The day and hour we're living in, there's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. You know, Jesus said, you got to come. He said, you got to come through the door. And he said, I'm the door. The only way to get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Some people think, well, I'm good. I'm a good person. Well, goodness won't take you to heaven. The righteousness of man is filthy rags. I mean, God can't deal with our filthy rags. God won't have anything to do with our filthy rags. Jesus made the statement, said, unless you become holy as I'm holy, he said, you can't enter in. Or as God is holy, you can't enter in. And so we find that the people didn't quite understand how in the world the disciples asked and the apostles asked, how can we be as holy as God? But see, Jesus was teaching them all along. He said, you must receive me. He said, you must believe that I am and that God sent me. He must believe that I am the Savior of the world, and he is the Savior of the world. He paid the sin debt on the cross of Calvary. He rose to give us life and have it give it more abundantly. Hey, listen, we have everlasting life because we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. 50 years ago, I called upon Jesus, asked Jesus to come into my heart and save my soul. And he saved me as a young man. Amen. He's lived in my heart. Even though I had people to tell me that, well, you'll get over it, I never have. 50 years has gone by, and I still just get excited over being saved and over going to heaven and knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm excited to know that no matter what happens, if I don't live to get out of this pulpit today, praise God, heaven is my home. To be asked for this body is to be present with the Lord. But we see in the day that we're living is a lot like Noah's day. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 in Mark chapter 13, told us all how things would be when Jesus would come again. We find, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So we see that we're living in those days. I believe with all my heart that we're living in those days. He gave us signs, and I've not got time to preach on the signs here this morning. But listen, I want you to know, let's go back to Noah now, look at a little bit about Noah. We find that Noah preached 120 years and no one outside of his own family. He had three sons. His three sons accepted and believed and got in the ark. His sons' wives, their three wives, they believed and they got in the ark. Noah's wife believed and got in the ark, and Noah got in the ark. Now, Noah preached that 120 years, and only seven people ever got saved under his ministry. Only seven people. You know, sometimes I get discouraged because no more people get saved than get saved around here in New England. You know, matter of fact, me and someone else was talking about this morning, how few people receive the gospel and get saved. When it's so easy, so simple, and God is pleading with man to come and get right before the flood comes or before the terrible day comes upon this earth. And so Noah preached, we see that Noah preached, and his three sons and their wives and his wife and all of those. That was only those few people got saved. We see that the preaching of Noah fell on mostly deaf ears. We find that the preaching of Noah, You know, and they laughed and mocked at him. You know, there's a lot of people that laugh and mock at preachers today. You know, they make fun. Oh, you more crazy men up preaching about Jesus. Hey, listen, it's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation and the Word of God, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus from morning to night, 24 hours a day. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus, Jesus. I like that song that he just sang this morning. Praise the Lord that he's saying that. And it is. It's all about Jesus. There's something about that name. Amen. And there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved than that of Jesus Christ. People must accept Jesus Christ. He's the only entrance way, the only way to get into heaven. And people are trying to get there on their own works. Most people that you talk to, you can go anywhere around town here and you can talk to people. And you say, do you believe that when you died you're going to heaven? Oh, sure, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. You know, I'm good. I try to do right, and I live a decent life, and I don't get out here and live a horrible life, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other. Hey, you know what? That still doesn't take anybody to heaven. And that's what Noah didn't turn around and said, now, if you people would do this and that and the other. No, he said, get on the ark. Amen. It's just that simple, Brother Jake. Just get on the ark, amen. It's just that simple today. It's just get on the ark through Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ and be saved. Accept him as your Savior. You know, and I don't think I can live it. Hey, you know what? None of us can live it. That's why we need Christ. I can't live it. You can't live it. No one can live it. That's why we need Jesus. You know, a lot of times I think about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And she was brought before Jesus and cast at Jesus' feet. And he said, now, you know, the Pharisee said, now, Moses gave us a written paper of divorcement. But said, what do you say? And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses gave the written paper of divorcement. Because of the hardness of your heart, God did that. Because you wouldn't follow God, because you wouldn't walk with God, because you wouldn't do what God said, he allowed you to get a written paper of divorcement from your wife. But he said, in the beginning, it was not so. Amen. Hey, in the beginning, God wanted every husband and every wife to put God first and make him the center of the home. And by making him the center of the home, things would be different. Things, lives would be changed. Everyone would be changed. Amen. Praise God, if we just bring Jesus into the home and allow Jesus to do the leading and the guiding and the directing. Let me tell you, there'd be harmony in the home. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, Noah preached and it fell on deaf ears. They couldn't believe that there's going to be a universal flood that's going to destroy all the earth. And so Noah entered the ark pure and free from the blood of all men. He said, I preached it. You know what? our messages go out over the internet, go all over this country. I've had people to come to this church from Washington State and said, we heard you on the internet. And said, we were vacationing in the area. We want to come by and hear you in person. Well, praise God. That's worth it, amen. Amen. You know? And I've had people come from Texas and different states and all around states to come visit the church here and said, we heard you on the internet. We went and found your church. Matter of fact, we had some people here just the other day, the other Sunday at church, and said, from London, England. And they said, we heard you on the internet. We seen the advertisement of your church. And said, we were looking for a King James church so that we could go to when we got in the area. And said, we found your church. Amen. She said, after church downstairs, I talked to them for a very long time, maybe an hour. We just talked in fellowship together. And they said, we're just so glad. You know what? They said, we're just so glad that this church is here. Amen. I said, praise God, we're glad it's here too. Amen. Amen. But praise the Lord. But I must go on. So we find that. So I want to preach and just give you 4 points this morning. First of all, we find his commission in verses 14 through 16. God told him what to do. Hey, I mean, just God told him what to do. You know what? God has told us what to do. He told us how we can be saved and have everlasting life. In Sunday school this morning, Jake mentioned something about John 5:24. He said, one of the pastor's favorite verses is John 5:24, and it is. You know why? Because it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm alive through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm alive because of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. We find that Noah was commissioned by God. Noah was told by God, he said, now, I want you to build this ark for the saving of mankind. Now, listen, we're talking about the ark as long as a football field. You know how long a football field is? It was as long as a football field. It was 75 feet wide. I mean, listen, this is a big monstrosity, let me tell you. I mean, you wondered. Well, let me tell you, it took 120 years to build that ark, amen? And not only did they cut the wood and put it all together, but then they pitched it inside and out. They made it sealed, amen. Praise God, it was sealed. There, once again, it reminds me of Scripture. Heard Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:30, says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in which you are sealed into that day of redemption. Praise God, as the ark was sealed, amen, to protect Noah and those aboard and the animals and all these things that was aboard, because it was sealed, they were protected, and because when we accept Jesus Christ and he comes into our heart, he seals us until the day of redemption. There's nothing to this being saved today and lost tomorrow. That's not everlasting life. You say, well, something's got to be put on man. No, if it was, man mess it up. Amen. Hey, man's got nothing to do with salvation. No more. Hey, listen, Noah just preached that the flood was coming and the ark was the way of salvation, and he pointed to the ark, and everybody that went in was saved, and those that refused to go in were lost. Just that simple. Hey, listen, Jesus paid it all. Amen. When he hung there on the cross, praise God for those wonderful words, it is finished. He finished it all. There wasn't anything for us to do but receive what he'd done. Amen. That's all God wanted us to do. But listen, he was commissioned. He was commissioned how to build the ark. And then there was 3 floors. You know, I didn't notice this until I was studying. And it says that there's 3 floors and it's got 2 lower floors. In other words, Noah and his family was in the top floor and the food and things of that nature. And then the animals in the 2nd and 3rd floor. I'm guessing that's probably the way. Maybe the 2nd floor was food and the animals was on the bottom floor. I don't know. But there's 3 floors that stands for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. God was in that ark. Amen. As a matter of fact, God didn't tell Noah to go into the ark. He says, come into the ark. He went in first. Have you ever noticed that? He went in first. He says, now, he says, come. Amen. He said, I'm not asking you to do something I hadn't already done. And so he says, come. He says, just come on in. And so God went in. God went in first, and Noah was asked to come on in, and he and his family, and they came on in. Now, they were there for a while. Now, can you see the people on the outside? That old crazy Noah. Hey, you know, I can hear them say now, that old crazy preacher Michael Henney. He's up there preaching the Bible. Well, you know old men just wrote that Bible. It's just stories that men wrote. It's not true. It's not real. One of these days they're going to find out it's real. Amen. Praise God, it is real. I could take the Word of God and I could show you in the Bible exactly that this is the Word of God. It's not writings that man had put down. Matter of fact, old Daniel even wrote and asked God, he says, God, tell me what these things mean. He said, Daniel, seal it up to the end times. And praise God, it's been opened up to us here in the last of the days, in the end of days. The book of Daniel has been opened up to us so we could know and understand what Daniel was talking about. Then secondly, we see his courage in verse 22. Notice he said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now let me tell you, you've heard me say this many times. If God would have told me, says, go and stand on the corner in your head and whistle Dixie, I'd have done it. But he didn't tell me to do that. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he just says, come to me, and he said, I'll save you. Just come. He said, I've already provided everything for you. Same way Noah, now, see, Noah preached, he said, everything's been provided. God told me to build this ark. It's been provided for you. It's provided. All you've got to do is just go in. Amen. Well, must I do this? I've had people tell me, well, if I trust Jesus, do I have to do this? I said, you don't have to do anything. But if you trust Jesus, Jesus will change you and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I had someone to ask me. They said, well, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, do I have to go to church? No, you don't have to go to church, but you'll be going against God if you don't go to church. Right. Hebrews 10:25 said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the matter of some is, and so much more as you see that day approaching. Hey, let me tell you what day approaching. The day that Jesus comes back for his bride, the closer we get to it. But you know what? Instead of people getting closer and more people getting into the house of God, they're getting away from the house of God, getting away from the things of God. Matter of fact, people's got to the place since they took the Bible and prayer out of schools. Now we've got a generation of people that's never had the Bible, never had prayer. They don't know what it's all about. It's amazing to me. I ask people and talk to people around here and mention characters in the Bible, and they don't know who they are. I said, you know, Abraham of the Bible, who's that? Well, you know who Paul was, the Apostle Paul, that was Saul, and after he got converted and all his name was changed to Saul. No, I never heard of that in my life. You know, and I asked them different questions. Wait, you know about this and that. You know about Peter, James, and John. Who were they? The three musketeers? Who were they? Hey, listen. They know nothing about this Word of God. Amen. Somebody here the other week got saved. You know, did not have a Bible. Did not own a Bible. And I said, do you mind if I give you a little bit of a used Bible? I said, I got it. I preached out of it a few times. And I said, with my eye situation, I had to get bigger print. And I said, this Bible is just like new. Except me, I marked my Bible. Amen. And I put marks in my Bible. I said, it's got a few places in it where it's got some marks in it. I said, with that Bible? No. I said, I'll give you that Bible. Nice, new, leather-bound Bible, and I give him that Bible. Amen. So he's got a Bible now. Hey, listen, folks. I'll tell you, there's people that have never heard. They don't know. You mentioned the gospel. Matter of fact, when we just had revival, and Brother Junior was telling me, he said, they was in one restaurant, I think it was down here at Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think he said. And he said, we're sitting there, and said, the lady over in the next table asked me, said, where are you from? Our voice portrays us. Well, you're not from around here. That's what I'm always at. You're not from around here. Yeah, down in southern Vermont. Amen. No. but Brother Junior said, he said, asked us, where are you from? Says, you on vacation? He says, well, no. says, well, what are you doing up here? Said, I'm up here preaching revival. Well, what's revival? Said, never heard revival. Did not know what a revival was. He said, I explained to him about what revival was. I mean, they had never heard of it before. Hey, listen, folks, there are people right here in our own neighborhood that has never heard the gospel. They've never heard that Jesus saves. They might have heard it, but they did not understand what it meant. And listen, that's why we must tell people. We must tell those in our family. We must tell our friends. We must tell our neighbors. We must tell people, because time is running out. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. And you say, well, preacher, why do you think it's so close? Well, I've studied and I preached a lot on the scriptures about the second coming of Christ. And I know this, that one of the major signs of Jesus coming back was Israel becoming a nation again. And isn't it amazing that now our president finally moved the embassy of the United States to Jerusalem? Hey, listen, do you realize that the Antichrist is going to rule first from Jerusalem? And after 7 years, at the end of the tribulation, Christ is going to come back and stop. Matter of fact, if he didn't stop, mankind would destroy the whole earth. And so we find Jesus comes back. He ends it. He comes in, sets up, takes over, takes the beast and the false prophet, cast them into the lake of fire. And he takes the devil and puts him in hell for 1,000 years. All these things are going to take place. And then there's going to be a utopia here on earth for 1,000 years. But praise God, what's going to happen first is the rapture of the church. The church is going to be taken out. We find there in Genesis chapter 5. I don't know what it is about my cheat sheet over here. I keep pulling it off in the floor. But we find in Genesis chapter 5, there's a man called Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. We find over in the book of Hebrews, tells us that God translated him. That's what's going to happen with the church. See, the church is going to be translated. At the rapture, the church is going to be translated. Christ is going to come in the clouds. They said, well, it looks like there's three comings of Christ. No, there's not three, there's two. The second coming of Christ is in two parts. Christ did not come literally to the earth. He comes in the cloud, and the church will go up to meet him in the air. You can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. I plainly give you that about the rapture. Then we go back with Christ to heaven, spend 7 years, the marriage supper of the Lamb, be taking place, the bema seat of Christ. All Christians will be judged of what, you know, rewards and lost rewards, and not for salvation, but for rewards and lost rewards. And so then at the end of that 7 years, then that's when Christ and we come back to this earth to reign for 1,000 years. And so that is the order of things. And so then we see, the converts in chapter 7, if you just turn over, if you're still there in Genesis chapter 6, just turn over to chapter 7, verse 13. He says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two, of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. So here, there was room for all the people. You know, that was a big, I mean, you think about this ark being as long as a football field. That's pretty big, isn't it? But yet, it's long this way, 75 feet that way. Let me tell you, that's a big vehicle. I mean, there was room for all the people. God made it big enough for all the people. They could get in, but they didn't. But they could have. Wow. Just think, all those people, all they had to do is believe the report. I want you to think about something. That ark stood out as a monument to speak to all the people. Now, I mean, you can't hide something, you know, that big. I mean, it sat there. Noah had preached for 120 years telling them exactly what was going to happen, but they wouldn't believe. I've had people right here in this town tell me, he says, Preacher, I just can't believe that. Man across the street over here told me. He said, Preacher, I just can't believe that. I said, when you look up in the sky and you see the moon, the sun, the stars, and all the things that exist, and all things on this earth, and I said, and you don't believe that there's a God? He said, oh, I believe there's something that brought it all about. And I said, yeah, and it's God. Yes. I said, God has let you know that he exists. The invisible God has let you know that he exists. And he just told me, he said, Preacher, he said, I just cannot believe that. I just cannot believe that. Jesus said the same thing to the people there in Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. He said, oh, how would I gathered you as a hen gathered her brood. In other words, you know, a hawk can fly over, and here is a hen out when it's got her little bitties running around. And about that time, she looks up and sees that hawk flying around, and she goes, wah, 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 and does it, fluffs her wings and everything like that, and all of a sudden, those little bitties, they know exactly what she's talking about. They'll run right under her, and she'll sit right down over them. She said, to get to them, you got to go through me. God said the same thing for you and I. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, you just come and put your faith and trust in me, and I'll give you rest. He said, I'll wrap my ever-loving arms around you, and I'll comfort you. I'll protect you. I'll supply your every need with my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Hey, I think that's a pretty good deal, don't you? Amen. I don't think you're going to get any better than that. And then last of all, closing this morning, is his conscience. I read to you 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. And I want to close with this morning. The Bible says, verse number 5, and spared not the old world. Let me stop right there for just a moment. Inspired not the world. You know, some people's got the idea, I don't believe God will allow me to burn forever in hell. But Jesus plainly said there in Luke 16, the rich man fared sumptuously every day, and he died and lifted up his eyes in hell and said, I am in torment in these flames. He looked over and he seen Father Abraham. And he seen Lazarus. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, would you allow Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come and touch my tongue? He said, now, son, he said, there's no way that Lazarus can come to where you are, because there's a great gulf in between us. See, to explain this a little bit, let me give you a little bit of explanation. To explain this a little bit, inside the center of the earth, there was a hell, and then there was a great gulf, and then there was paradise. And so when a person believed in Christ and in the coming of Christ, when he died, he went into paradise because he believed in Christ and the coming of Christ. It had been given to him from the days of Adam and Eve up to that his present day. And so when he believed in Christ, and then he went to paradise side. Those that would not believe, like the rich man, he went straight into hell, in the fires of hell. Now, Jesus said that, I didn't. That man had every opportunity. He said, now you've had every opportunity to receive what Christ has done, and you said no. I'll take care of it myself. Well, the thing about it is, the only way we could take care of it ourselves is to spend eternity in a burning hell. That's terrible, folks. That's terrible. There's people that are in hell right now, and they've had preachers, they've had loved ones, they've had people to give them tracts and try to talk to them and help them. And they said, no, 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 no. The day came, they went out into eternity, and it was long. Well, was it God's fault? No, it wasn't God's fault. God's done everything in his power. I believe with all my heart it breaks the heart of God. It breaks my heart to see people say no to Jesus. I said, you don't realize what you're doing. When Jesus hung down on the cross and they walked by and stuck their tongues out at Jesus, and the Bible said they wagged their head, and, you know, they looked up at Jesus. Can you see them? Just shake her head. This is senseless. You're dying up there. All you had to do was just say a few things and you wouldn't have had to die. Just deny that you're God and you're the king of the Jews and they would have turned you loose. But then it had to lie. And he is the truth. He could not lie. Oh, me. But Jesus hung there and not opened his mouth and he paid the price of sin so that you and I could be saved and have everlasting life. Well, if God loved me that much to give his son, surely he couldn't let me go to a devil's hell. Yes, because you would not accept his son. Because by not accepting his son, you're slapping God in the face. God, I don't need you and your son. God said, okay, I've done all I could do. Jesus is there. All you've got to do is accept him. I don't want your son. The only thing, you can't go to heaven without it. So you must go to hell that was created for the devil and his angels. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God said, I've done everything. I'm so glad I wised up one day. Came to Christ. Heaven is my home. My name is written down there. Is your name written down there? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you died right now that you go to heaven? I hope everybody in this building is saved right now. But more than likely, there's probably somebody here that's never been saved. And if you've never come to Christ and received him as your Savior, you can do that right now. I'm going to ask us to stand. The pianist and organist to come.